Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brooklyn Storm. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of our new subscribers, and thank you so much to everybody who listens every week. And I have some exciting news. It's actually Thursday morning before my 9 o'clock, so it's 10 past eight Thursday morning. Friday morning. And I've just found out that we've had over 25,000 downloads on this podcast, which is so exciting. So I'm going to go and do a post on Facebook, but I wanted to tell you guys first, even though you'll hear it after, but I wanted to tell you first and say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I really, 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 really appreciate it. So without further ado, let's get into today's topic. So I want to talk with the counselors today. So listen, if you're a psychologist or a social worker, you can absolutely benefit from this, no problem. But the reason that I want to share this with counselors is because, the counselors will know, but other people might not. There's a lot of, bullying, really, in the counseling groups around things like qualifications. And this has all come about because counseling is a self-regulated industry. Unlike psychology and social work, where, you know, there's minimum levels that need to be met and it's, you know, tertiary education and this, that and the other, that's not in the counselling field. And so what happens is we sometimes have people, you know, I guess suggest or just outwardly tell counsellors that they're not good enough, they're not worthy enough, they're never going to make it in private practice, all this sort of stuff, because of qualifications. And, you know, having come from that psychologist background where we just don't hear that really, it really surprised me. I found it very, very confronting. And it's a big part of the reason why I created the ACPPO, which is the Australian Counsellors in Private Practice Online, so that counsellors could have a space to unpack some of this stuff in a way that felt safe. And anyway, what's coming through is there's a lot of concern from counsellors about, am I qualified enough to do this? And they have doubt about, you know, their qualifications and what their qualifications mean because of, you know, self-titled peak bodies like ACA, for example, or PACFA, who have, you know, started this whole thing around, oh, you've got to have all these certain levels, which falsely tells a narrative that in order for you to be good, you must hit a certain level. In order for you to be able to do X, Y, or Z, you must hit a certain level. And it's just not true. You only need to hit those levels if you choose to be a member of those groups, but you don't have to be. That's one of the things that I want to suggest. But I feel like by ACA and PACFA, I'm just using those two as an example because they're very popular. I think this whole idea of having levels really undermines what we're trying to do as therapists, as counsellors. And I want to fight back against that by helping counsellors who are perhaps inexperienced or new to the field, or perhaps have been in it for a while but are under the misapprehension that they need to be up a certain level in order to be good. And the other thing that I've observed too is, you know, that women especially are saying, well, I need to be a level whatever it is before I can charge this fee, or before I can and it is just not true. Your effectiveness and your worth as a counsellor is in no way determined by your level of qualification or your level of whatever it is that you're doing with ACA or perhaps even PACFA. Right. That's the first thing. Now, I know that's going to throw some of you off because you've been indoctrinated to think everybody must be, and you do not need to be in any group whatsoever. You're in a self-regulated industry. Okay. And we can talk about what that means in a minute. But if you're finding it challenging to feel like you can't charge or you can't do this or you can't do that because you're, in air quotes, only a level one, we've got a problem. In my mind, what organization seeks to undermine the value of its counselors by telling them that they're only this good or they're only that good or they need to do this or they need to do that? It keeps people, mostly women, because our industry is mostly women, in a perpetual state of doubt, in a perpetual state of feeling like, am I really good enough for this? And it really bothers me that we're in an industry that's meant to be all about supporting, not judging, all of those sorts of things, that we have so-called self-proclaimed peak bodies telling you you're not good enough. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I want to share with you today some research that I've gone away and done for you because I know some of you like evidence and that's totally fine. But I've researched today for you with evidence and you can go and check for yourself. There is virtually 100% consistency in the outcome of meta-analysis. So meta-analysis is when a researcher looks at a whole bunch of other studies and analyzes all of their data. There are so many meta-analysis as well as individual studies done on the best predictors of client outcome and the best predictors of therapist success. And guess what the best predictor is? I'm going to give you a spoiler alert here. It's nothing to do with your ACA level. Your ACA level is not a predictor of effectiveness. It is not a predictor of success. You are not a better counselor if you're on a certain level. What makes you an effective therapist is the therapeutic alliance. Now, I know many of you will already understand this, but it's going to be news for others. Others of you that think, oh, I need to go and do another course in CBT, or I need to go and do another course in strengths-based this or that. No, you don't. There is virtually zero correlation between the effectiveness of therapy and the client outcome based on clinical intervention. The only time that we really start to dive more deeply into what intervention is effective is when we do, so in psychology, for example, you know, they try and make psychology a science. And I can remember in my 14 years at Monash University studying the science of psychology, we had to do lab reports right from, I can't even remember, I want to say fourth year. We had to do laboratory reports, right? They even call them laboratory reports. And what you would do is you would have a hypothesis, so a question, a research question that you want to ask. And then you have a null hypothesis, which is the opposite of that. And you test them. So you would go away and you would conduct your experiment on two groups of people. One group of people, you wouldn't give any treatment to. The other group of people, you might give CBT to, for example. That was all the rage when I was studying. And then what you would do is you compare the outcomes for, say, anxiety for the control group and the CBT group. So when we're diving more deeply into individual and we're comparing, you know, specific therapeutic interventions, yes, we can absolutely see some therapeutic interventions are more impactful and effective than others. Like CBT for a long time was the benchmark. Now it's more sort of EMDR and things like that. But that aside, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the effectiveness of particular interventions. We're talking about, you know, the best predictor of therapeutic outcome in terms of success and effectiveness. And guess what? It's not your qualification. It's not how many years you've been doing it for. It's not how young you are. It's not how old you are. Age is not a predictor of how effective you are in counseling. What is the predictor consistently is the therapeutic alliance, the therapeutic relationship. That is what matters, okay? And if you want to get specific on that, some of the micro skills with building that therapeutic relationship are things like the therapist's ability to show up genuinely in a session with a client, to not judge, to keep their thoughts and opinions to themselves, to express empathy, right? To have empathy in terms of like body language and, you know, have effective empathy, affective, as well as cognitive empathy, okay? And be able to communicate empathy in a really, really powerful way. You know, there's been so many studies that demonstrate consistently a correlation between your client's level of satisfaction and these micro skills of being able to just be present in a session, look like you're paying attention, have empathy, hold the space. Now, if you don't believe me, that's a analysis from the American Psychological Association. Best fit between the therapist and the client is another predictor of therapeutic outcome over and above what intervention they have. So it doesn't matter as much what you're giving them. You don't have to give them CBT or spiritual counseling, if you're like me, or anything like that. Over and above that, clients consistently report that when they feel like that therapist is their best fit, is their best match, that's when they engage, that's when they show up, that's when they get the transformation, that's when they do the work, that's when they leave with a transformation, with a tangible result. Okay. More articles you can go and look at in Frontiers in Psychology and Frontiers in Psychiatry. Again, speak to the therapeutic alliance, that relationship at the very foundation of the effectiveness of the counselor. There is nowhere that says your level in a particular membership makes you better than somebody who's at a lower level. All right. There is nothing to support the idea that someone at level 4 is better and therefore worth more and can therefore charge more and therefore must be better at therapy than someone who's on level 1. So what do I want you to understand? It does not matter if you have a PhD, a master's, a bachelor's, a grad dip, or a diploma. That's irrelevant in terms of the client's perception of their progress. It's irrelevant in terms of your ability to show up. It's irrelevant in terms of your ability to support that client in supporting themselves by providing them with that safe, trusting, non-judgmental space where they can be open and drop their guard and build trust. Your qualification and, to some extent, the intervention that you use have virtually no effect on your ability to be a good counselor. I know, let that sink in, right? So I know this is going to be perhaps a little bit controversial for people who have, you know, perhaps for whatever reason, thought that what they needed to do was bump themselves up levels in certain associations. And I want you to know it is not true. You do not need to do that. That will not make you better. What makes you better is your ability to hold space for that client. You're all very good at doing that. You've all been trained in how to do that, right? The other thing that comes out time and time and time again, and this was in a study by Yale University, is that therapeutic alliance is required for a successful experience of therapy. And the predictors there were that there needs to be a sense that the therapist is showing up with genuine care, you know, not playing on her phone or looking out the window or thinking about her shopping list. She needs to be present in the room with the client. She needs to be able to express empathy. I'm saying she here, but I mean everybody. She needs to be able to have open dialogue, with the client so that they can discuss options for how that client wants to handle a problem. And she can give guidance about what matches in terms of therapeutic intervention might work, and they can discuss those together. It begins with a person-centered approach. Now, you do not need a PhD to understand a person-centered approach, yet it is the foundation of a successful outcome in therapy, okay? And you are very good at that. It doesn't matter if you've got a diploma or a master's or whatever it is. It starts with a person-centered approach. It continues and builds with that sense of collaboration, you know, planning together, saying, hey, what do you think about this? Have you tried this? Would you be open to this? What are your thoughts about this? You know, and the other thing that's really important is when therapists calibrate the conversation with the client. And by that, what I mean is in session, every session at some point or another, when it's right, when the time is right, the moment is right, checking in. How does that sound for you? How does that feel for you? What are your thoughts on this? What are you thinking now? Right? Calibrate, calibrate, calibrate. That's how you build that therapeutic alliance, and that's how you're going to get the transformation happening for your client over and above what technique you're using. Over and above. I'm looking at my Remarkable here. I've got like 5 pages of notes. All references that you can easily, like it took me like 10 minutes to Google this, guys. Okay, what happens if there is no therapeutic relationship? What happens when there's an absence of that therapeutic alliance? Well, first of all, let's look at situations where this can occur. This is probably going to occur when you have a mandated client. And in counseling, it's unlikely you're going to have a mandated client, but it is something that happens a lot in psychology and social work. But that's when you have a client who really doesn't want to be there. They're there because their lawyer has told them to go so that they can get a report from you to help support them in an upcoming court case, for example. What happens there is the client doesn't want to be there. and so there's going to be resistance, you know, that, and that's going to look like non-compliance with, you know, whatever it is you're trying to achieve and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, the other thing that can happen, mandated clients aside, in general, without a therapeutic alliance, this can happen with teenagers and adolescents sometimes when mum or dad think it's a good idea for them to get some help. The client who's a teenager adolescent doesn't necessarily want to be there. I think many of us have had that experience. But when that happens, you know, what can happen is we see an increase in non-attendance, we see an increase in reschedules, we see an increase in cancellations, there's a higher level of resistance, higher levels of non-compliance, and an increase in psychosocial impact of symptoms of whatever it is that a person who doesn't want to be there is coming along with. So, as you can see, therapeutic alliance above and beyond anything else is the best predictor of client satisfaction. Now, I know this is really important because in our group, in the ACPPO, people were asking recently about how do you measure and what's the best measure of whether or not a client is satisfied. I believe the best measure of whether or not a client is satisfied is what we're just talking about. If they feel heard, if you're calibrating the conversation, if they're showing up, if they're doing the work, if they're complying with whatever you're suggesting or recommending they do to support themselves, things like that. Okay. So what does all of this mean for counselors? Well, in my honest professional opinion, and I know I'm going to ruffle feathers, but honestly, on everything I've said today, I want you to understand what I believe this means for all counsellors is that your qualification does not predict your effectiveness, nor does it determine how good you are. It's your choice if you want to stay in associations that undermine your sense of worth, your sense of confidence, your sense of being good enough, your sense of am I doing it right, other people must be better than me. That stuff is just outright not true. Okay. If you want to stay with those groups, stay with those groups. You do not need to be with them. Okay. What you do need to do, though, is make sure that you're practicing ethically. Make sure that you've got insurance. Make sure that for yourself, you're doing your own ongoing professional development training. You can be responsible for those things. You do not need to be, putting pressure on yourself to move through levels. Okay, you could do all of these other things yourself. Plus, there are other groups that you can join that don't have those levels, right? That accept you and value you for all of this stuff, for the important outcomes, client satisfaction, work that you do through a person-centered approach, okay, and through being very, very genuine, okay? What does determine how good or effective you are in a session above and beyond your qualification or your profession is your ability to be there for your client, okay? To be there, present for those 50 minutes or 60 minutes or 90 minutes or whatever it is you're doing, to be there with them, 100% wholly and solely focused on them for that time, okay? So I have an activity for you, so maybe hit pause, grab a pen and paper, and then come back. I have two prompts for you to support you with this. And the first one is, they're kind of similar actually, so you might only want to write down one. But the first one is, how many ways can I be there in session for my client? How many ways can I be there in session for my client? And the second one is, if I was being there for my client in session, what would that look like? Okay, if I was being there for my client in session, what would that look like? Okay, and just allow yourself to do stream of consciousness writing and just connect in with that. That is your source of, I want to say power, but it's not the right word. That is your source of, I can't think of the word right now. I want to say connection with your client. It's not inner guidance, it's a knowing. This is going to connect you with your knowing, and this is going, doing this exercise will start to cultivate confidence from within, so that you stop seeking external validation for how, in inverted commas, good you are or not, okay? Because that's not helping you and it's not helping your clients. So if you're someone who struggles because you say, oh, I've only got a diploma or I've only got an undergrad or whatever it is, I want you to do this exercise every day for 7 days, all right? Every day for 7 days, because it's going to help you connect in with your true value. That's it, your true value, your core essence, your core purpose, why you do this work in the first place, okay? Now, in other news, sorry, I tend to get a little bit passionate about this stuff because I want to barrack for underdogs, and you're not underdogs. And this is what frustrates me so much, this narrative that you've got to, anyway, do all these things. You don't have to do these things other than focus on being present in a relationship. You're all very, very good at that. If you doubt whether or not you can be good at those micro skills, that's fine. We can do a course. We can do some role plays. You can talk about it with your supervisor. All those sorts of things. There are plenty of resources that you can use, okay, if you want to polish your skills there. Not that I think many of you need to do that. Okay, so what I was going to say was, I have a complimentary guide for those of you who are struggling to build your diary because you're getting the phone call all the time from people and then they're hanging up when you tell them that you don't do a Medicare rebate. So I've created that for you. I'm going to pop it in the show notes, so do grab that. As I said, it's complimentary. If you want, join the ACPPO. It's free to join. There's heaps of good stuff in there. Follow Brooklyn Storm on YouTube. I'm in the process of tidying it up, so be kind. It's going to take a couple of months to get there. So thank you for being patient and understanding, but I really, really, really want to build my audience there so that you have an option, because I understand from those of you who email that some of you just aren't, you know, Facebook people. So yeah, let's do YouTube instead. And then the other thing too is I'll pop my email in the show notes. So if you need a hand with anything or you have some thoughts that you'd like to share, please feel free to share them. As I said, this episode today is based on not only the research that I've done, but it's also something that's true to my heart, and it's my professional opinion, everything that I've said here. And do you know what? It's your choice what you want to do in terms of being in memberships or groups. It's, this podcast isn't about that. This podcast is about how you understand, what you base your understanding of your value as a counselor on. I want you to take your focus off, I need to climb this ladder over here in order to. That's very linear masculine thinking, all right? And we know from the research, it's just not true. I want you to understand you are already of value. Your service is already of value. By you turning up and being there with a client, that is valuable, okay? Your financial worth is not determined by your qualifications either, okay? That's all I've got to say on the matter. I hope this helps those of you who really, really, really needed to hear it. For those of you who are feeling a bit maybe not great about what I've just shared, because I understand that all of us are at a different level of belief or belief on the continuum of what we need to be doing and how we need to be doing it in order to be X, Y, and Z. I know that. And if you're somebody who has been under the misapprehension that you need to be working your way through all of these levels so that you can, I don't know, charge more or be better or more worthy or whatever it is, the reason that you're doing it, I can understand why listening to this podcast today could be not great. It's going to counter beliefs that you've been holding on to for years perhaps. And I get that. If that's you, I want you to know that what I'm sharing with you, I'm sharing with love, with loving kindness. I just have nothing but love for you, and I want to support you, even though I might not be your favorite person right now. And if you want to talk this through, if you want to unpack it, as you probably do, because you know, it's the polar opposite to what some of you have been doing and believing and thinking. Let's unpack it together safely, respectfully, without judgment, because I want you to really, 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 really believe that you're already good enough. You are already worthy enough. You are already enough. Okay? All right, my lovelies, I'm going to let you go. Have a beautiful Saturday. Save this episode because there may be a time when you're feeling not good enough or you're triggered by what you see in a different online community or something like that, and you will want to come back to this so that you can listen and anchor back into how you choose to define your worth, and you can do that activity again, okay? You are worthy. You're enough. I love you. And I'm here for you. Okay? All right. Have a beautiful Saturday. And I'll talk to you on Wednesday. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding, your processes, and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.